Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to another Mother Runner. This is Sarah Bowen Shea. I am joined by my running partner, Molly Williams.
Hello, hello, hello.
What you been up to since the last hour since we finished running?
oatmeal. Shower, not much. Let the dogs out.
So the score this morning was Sarah 4, Molly 1.
I know, it was very sad.
In terms of pennies.
I ran right by some pennies. So I was on the inside track and Sarah looks over my shoulder and says, "Penny, penny." And even as she was picking them up, I didn't see them. It's been a sad morning.
Sarah picking up invisible pennies.
Yeah, I found one and I think Sarah saw it first and just let me have it.
No, you totally, I did not see that at all.
Oh, thank you.
I did not see it until you were leaning down. Yep, yeah. No, so that was yours fair and square.
And after I bought a new car, you think you should give me some money? I'm totally broke.
I know. I was wondering if you broke out the change
I'm gonna
to pay
have
for the new
to.
Car. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was, your new car is beautiful.
Yeah, the transmission went out on our minivan and our minivan is 12 years old and probably worth $3,000 or $4,000, and the transmission's going to cost that much. So we bit the bullet and we are going to be broke for the next, I don't know,
right, however
decade.
Long you're loaning.
Yes, it's going to be forever. So all the spare change is going to have to go to the car.
Right.
I'm going to have to dip into your jar, get those quarters out.
Somebody did suggest to me recently that we should, they said, "Oh, you should take your found change and go out to dinner with Molly." And I'm like, it wouldn't pay for dinner. And I'm like, maybe each, well, your $10 would go a long way.
We could go to 7-Eleven and we could get some burritos and a couple of bottles of water, some cigarettes. I think we could maybe do that. I don't know. Cigarettes are expensive these days.
Yeah, we could just sit on the curb and and we can beg for change.
Yeah. I know some good spots.
Yeah, right. So then I said, oh, well, you know, maybe we would just go out and get, you know, a glass of wine or something and maybe a little tapas or something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But then I was like, I don't know.
We go get a case. How do you say them? Not acacia bowls. What are they called?
Acai bowls.
Acai bowls. Yes. Yeah. We'll go get acai bowls.
That'll
take more than $10 to get a couple acai bowls.
It truly will.
That is the new thing, isn't it? Those acai bowls.
I don't know whether it's just that we're now aware of it or I don't know, but they are mighty good. Mighty good. So Molly, I raced a 10K.
I heard. You blew it out of the water in your 10K. I've been with you with the training. I haven't done the speed work with you. I've seen you getting faster. I knew you could do well. I didn't think you'd do that well.
Really? Tell me honestly what you thought I'd do.
I thought you would have to pull back at about the halfway point to about an 8:20. And your average.
Well, I did for mile 4 and 5. I went to 8:24, 8:25.
Oh, okay.
Not on purpose.
But your average speed for the whole
thing,
which is amazing, because I thought you were going to average more like an 8:20.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe you would slow down even a little bit more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So I am really impressed with your staying power.
Oh, thanks.
And that is what I lack. Because you can really hang in there with the pain. And I thought you'd do more like a 53. And what'd you do, 51?
5103.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very impressed.
Oh,
I'm really
thanks.
Very impressed. I'm
Thank
impressed
you.
With you, and I'm impressed with Bree and her plan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that was the thing that I hadn't done a ton of long, fast pieces. You know, I didn't, you know, it was 2 minutes, 4 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, with, or sometimes she'd bump, you know, be bump up to rate of perceived exertion 7 and then go to 5 and then 7, 5, 7. But it didn't ever seem like it was a super long time of hugging the pain.
Which is why I'm surprised that you could hang in there at that fast pace for that long.
I know. Well, and then this morning when we just had to do little 30-second blips of just picking it up a little, I was like, how did I ever do this for, you know, 51 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It was, It's definitely magic, I think.
But you were also telling me that even though you did slow down, but you didn't feel like you slowed down very much.
No.
Mm-mm. And you weren't looking at your watch.
I did not. So Bree had told me to go out in the first mile and not look at my watch at all because she felt it would hold me back. Mm-hmm. She wanted to see what I was capable of. And then what she wanted me to do was at the mile, see what my split was, and then drop my splits by 5 or 10 seconds per mile after that.
Mm.
And when I looked down and saw that I'd run a 7:54 for the first mile, that plan went out the window.
Uh-huh.
And so then I said, okay, I'm just going to run a rate of perceived exertion 7.
Uh-huh.
And so that, that's what I did. And then, you know, I definitely tried to like stay with some people and,
But did you get to the point where you felt like, okay, I got to slow it down because I got 3 more miles. I got to slow it down because I got 2 more miles. Or did you feel like, I got this, I've got this, I've got this?
No, it wasn't so much as I got to slow down. It was, I got to hang on to this. I got to hang on to this. Uh-huh.
But you felt like you could.
It was a challenge. It was for sure a big challenge. Because obviously my pace did slow when I thought I was still doing as hard as possible.
But you didn't really think you were slowing, did you?
You know, the interesting thing is I thought I slowed down in miles 2 and 3. Mm. And then when I looked at the stats, it turns out I slowed down in miles 4 and 5. So, it was more just... I don't know. I mean, I definitely, miles 4 and 5, I was trying to keep up with some people. There was a guy that I was trying to hang with. There was a woman I was gaining on a little bit. So I was trying to catch up to her. I mean, it was quite a long ways off, but I was trying to catch up to her. And so I didn't really feel like I slowed down, but that's because if you're running by rate of perceived exertion, by that point, a 7 is you're tired. So the tiredness is added into that 7. So maybe I was, you know, so that pace was slower, but it felt as hard as it had felt earlier when I was fresher.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you, that it was crazy how like alive my legs felt in that first mile. That it was just, I honestly didn't feel like I had 2 limbs. I felt like I just had a ball of energy beneath me. Like this, like
wheels,
pinpricks of light and energy.
Wow.
It was metaphysical.
You were tapered. You were ready to go.
I was ready to go. And I had done my dynamic flexibility drills and lunge matrix and, you know, little strides and everything like that. And I was quite the hermit there.
You were in your bubble.
I was. I was in my bubble. I had my earbuds on and I was off, you know, in kind of a private area it was like a parking lot that they weren't letting regular people park in. And so I just, you know, it was open to pedestrians. So I just went and made it my own and left a bottle of noon energy there. And yeah, so I was antisocial, although then right when I was standing right toward the start, turns out I knew the MC. And so he came over and he's like, oh, Sarah Bowen Shea. And then I saw this woman, Kelly Bither, who is a, running coach just outside of Portland, who, works with these, women's training groups. And I've done some events with her, like some wine brunches that were super fun a couple years ago. So I saw her and I was pretty nervous. And so it was so nice to look over and be like, oh, a friendly face. And
oh, that's good.
And I yell out to her, I'm like, take pictures, take horizontal pictures because they're better for the vlog. So, I was really, you know, I was disappointed when I saw that I had missed my 50, you know, minutes goal by 4 seconds.
Mm.
But it wasn't until the race that I suddenly realized I kept thinking I had to run 50.00.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize like, oh, a 50.59 counts as a 50.
Sure.
So I wish I'd had that revelation earlier because I just wish I'd looked down occasionally to see what my time was. Because I always get into a race and I think I'm doing the best I can. It'll be what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I should have pushed a little harder.
Oh, you think so? Do you think if you would have gone out slower, it would have made a difference?
No, I think I think I needed to gain that time. I think I needed to bank that time.
Oh.
I don't think it was a case of like a half marathon where you're going to then lose because I was able to pick it back up again in the final 1.2 miles.
Okay.
Yeah. So like I definitely occasionally, I'm not able to look at my watch and see what my cumulative time is and my pace or, you know, like I can't see more than one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like when just I looked
at because of your eyes, not your.
I think it's just I can't take it all in. Like yeah. I just look really quickly and.
But
look
your
away.
Watch has it on there.
Yes, you it does have yeah. it all at the same time. I just can't perceive it all at the same time. I can't absorb it at the same time. And so I looked down occasionally, and there my pace was 7 something at that point.
Yeah.
So
your last mile, what do you think your last mile was?
Well, my last mile was right around what my total average was. I think my last mile was 8:11, but I dropped underneath 8 sometimes in that final mile.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It must have felt great to come sprinting across the finish line.
It did. I was tired. I mean, it was a long, long straightaway to that finish arch. And so it was like, oh, come on. It's got to get here. Like, can I hang on long enough? So it was very, very exciting. And Bree had told me that in the race plan. She was like, this is going to be a lot of fun, Sarah. You're going to like really enjoy this.
Well, I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
And you came in first in your age group.
I came in first in my age group and 38th overall.
Not out of 39. Out of like how many?
Oh my gosh, Jack said the same thing to me. There were more than 500 people in the race.
Yeah.
So, I can't even do percentage wise, better than top 10%.
I know, that's so good.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed.
So, well, this leads us right into today's topic, which is 10K races. Why folks love them, hate them, step up to them, scale back for them. We're going to be joined by 4 mother runners to talk about 10K races they run, and sprinkled in will be voice memos from other gals talking about their 6.2 mile races. Like this voice memo from Jody in Canada.
This is Jody calling from Kingston, Ontario in Canada. I'm a mother runner of 2 girls, ages 9 and 12, and actually just ran a 10K last weekend with my 12-year-old daughter. My 9-year-old was running the 5K. I actually don't run 10Ks very often since I'm more a distance runner, actually training for my first marathon right now. But nonetheless, we decided to sign up for this local race. It was to be my daughter's second 10K. And I noticed when I was registering, the motto or the tagline of the race was "tough course, great people." That really should have been the first red flag, but we'd never run it before, so ignorance is bliss. Went ahead and registered, and then met the race director at the bib pickup, where he told us that this was not a course for PRs, that we would be facing 5 hills times 2 on the out and back course, that we should expect intense headwinds on the way out and to essentially feel like we were running in an oven on the way back. I figured this has to be like the worst marketing I'd ever heard, and I kind of hoped that it was a little bit of a joke and we had a little twisted sense of humor. But no, he was actually just telling the truth of the day, as we came to realize it was a suffer fest. I mean, most demoralizing course I've maybe ever been on. Later, someone, when they learned that we had run the 10K, called us masochists. So I guess the course had a bit of a reputation. We did have a goal of reaching a sub 60-minute 10K, and we knew that the course, once we were out on it, might influence how much we could go under an hour, but we wanted to go for it anyway, maybe because the race director said that we shouldn't expect to have a great race, so it felt like a little bit of a dare, but we just hung in there, we just kept on keeping on basically, and we did come in under an hour. My daughter set a PR and won her age group, so we felt pretty badass and proud, and it was just a good lesson in seeing that we can do hard things. But make no mistake, the next race that we're scheduled for, another 10K next month, I immediately emailed that race director to see what the elevation map might look like. Anyways, I don't race 10Ks very often, but despite the difficulty of the day, or probably because of it, this is definitely going to be one that I'm really proud of.
And one reason we want to talk about 10Ks, this distance is on the rise in popularity. A lot of rock and roll events are adding 10K races in addition to their existing marathon or half marathons. And then Shalane Flanagan, who is headed to Rio next month for the Olympic marathon and who won a bronze medal in the 2012 Olympics in the 10K in London, recently set a new American women's record for the distance. You ready for it, Molly? 30 minutes, 52 seconds.
That's faster than I can run it.
It is. Just
that's
a little.
Very. Isn't that impressive?
It is. That's real good there, Shalane. You did good, Shalane.
So at 30 minutes, I'm at like mile, I don't know, 3.5.
So she ran 30 minutes, 52 seconds, and that's 11 seconds faster than the previous record, which Shalane had set last September. So I think she's going to just really rip it up down there in Rio. So that's exciting. So, but first, Molly, you know, you're no stranger to the 10K distance.
I am not.
You're not. So tell folks about the local series that you do.
Well, it's the Oregon Roadrunners Club 10K series, and you sign up for 6 races, and the cost is about $100, so that gets the race price.
It's a bargain.
It's a total bargain, and there are small races that are on the outskirts of Portland, and there's usually maybe a couple hundred people that come out for each race, and it is definitely all shapes and sizes and ages, and there's runners and there's walkers. And it's just a really nice community event. You see the same people. I've really enjoyed it.
And there's special prizes.
They always have some special prize. The Garlic Festival, you get garlic.
Oh, you do?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get socks. Sometimes you get...
So I always thought you got pies.
No, see, you are mistaken. There is also a raffle. Oh. And then the raffle, they raffle off prize, and they also raffle off socks and cups and things like that. So the pies are not a prize.
Oh.
Which
is hard to say. The pies are not a prize.
They're the raffle. So when you sign for the 10K series, you're signed up for a special raffle, which I have not won, and I'm still bitter about. But you always get raffle tickets for the raffle at the end, and that gets people to stay for the award ceremony. They give out age group prizes. Up to 6 deep for, you know, every like 10 age group. You give a master's prize, and then, you know, first woman, second, you know, first man, that kind of thing. So I often go home with a ribbon or something. Uh-huh. And the food is stuff like they'll have the Lions Club come out and they do soup, or you get homemade cinnamon rolls, or it's always something kind of local and fun. Yeah. Yeah, they're really fun. I encourage everybody to do them or look for your local races. And I don't really train for those. You know, I just, since they're scattered throughout the year, it's like, oh, there's that 10K. Mm-hmm. You know, let's go out and do it. That's the day's run, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice gauge to see how, you know, my body's feeling and, you know,
although
what the times are.
Although you do have a friend of ours who is your race nemesis.
Yeah, I do.
Because you always like a good nemesis.
I do. Julie Carter, if you're listening, you always beat me except for this last race. And that was because, like, you were practically, you know, off the sick bed. Thank you for letting me beat you once, Julie. I appreciate that. I always look forward to racing you, seeing how far behind I am. But yeah, for once, I had my day in the sun.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So, but that is the nice thing I would think in a series is that you get to see a lot of the same runners over and over.
You do. And there are some people that I'm not like sure what they look like, but I see them on the race board and I'm like, oh, there's that Amy. Yeah. She beat me this time. I beat her last time. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of see how that goes.
It's funny because I did think since I'm not a fixture on the local race circuit, that if people were at the Twilight race that I just did, they were probably like, wait a minute, who's this Sarah Shea chick? And like, why is she in my age group? And what's up with that?
That's totally true. And when I age up into the next group, I'm like, oh, now I got to run with those ladies. They're fast. Right. They were out of my age group for a while and I got to compete against them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I was so bummed there were no age group. Nothings.
I know. See, if you did an ORRC, you would have gotten a blue ribbon.
I know. I was so excited because, as I said, I knew the MC, this guy, great guy, Greg Pressler, and he just really brought a lot of energy to it. I love a good MC at a race. And so afterwards, I saw him when I was waiting in line to get the burrito, the free burrito that you got after the race. And I was like, Greg, I'm so excited. I was first in my age group. He's like, yeah, we're not doing age group awards. I was like, oh, wah, wah.
Yeah. You need to come out and run with me.
I know, because the only other age group award I've ever gotten was in that 5K you and I did. Mm-hmm. And you were like, I think you did well enough to place in your age group. And it was, I placed third. And I would have just left if you hadn't told me to stick around.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You got a plaque.
I did. I have no idea where that plaque is, but.
So many. It's just it's in the plaque cabinet with all the rest of the awards.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'd say we get on with this 10K show. But before we bring on our first guest, we're going to chat with a partner. Stay with us. So the first mother runner to join us is Sarah Axelrod, who is joining us from Dartmouth College, but she lives in Florida. And welcome and happy birthday, Sarah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Skype informed me that it's your birthday. So
it was actually Monday. I wonder if I have it wrong in Skype, but
oh my goodness.
Thank you anyway.
Yes.
I was like, wow, news travels fast.
My my youngest daughter's birthday was yesterday, so you're in good company.
Oh, very good. Cancer all the way.
Yeah, because we always used to call her our crab. We had this joke with Ellie. We'd say, "Hey, Ellie, the ocean called. They want their crabs back." And then, she didn't think it was as funny as we did. And then, like, years later, we realized she wasn't a Cancer or a crab. We're like, "Aha, see, it's perfect. You're
a crab." Save that for when my daughter gets old enough to give me attitude.
Yeah, exactly. So, Sarah, tell us about your family and your kids and where you live and why you are in New Hampshire for the summer.
I am in New Hampshire for 2 weeks, actually, teaching a very, very intensive Italian program, like teaching every day from 8 a.m. until about 9 p.m. with breaks for lesson planning for the rest of the day kind of thrown in there every now and then. I'm an Italian professor, and this is kind of a really fun and really intensive and totally over the top summer program that Dartmouth does. And you basically do a year's worth of Italian in 10 days.
Wow.
And it's very rewarding. The students are great, very appreciative and very eager to learn, which you'd have to be to come here and sleep in a dorm and, just go to class all day during the summertime. And so I live in Florida, although I am moving to Boston, which is where I'm from originally. It's all very silly and complicated. I have a 10-month-old daughter, so I'm new to the Mother Runner community, but I feel very lucky to have found you. I have a mother-runner friend, Abby Callie, in Stamford, Connecticut, which I know
is my hometown.
Yeah, and she totally got me hooked on AMR as soon as I was ready to come back to running after having my daughter. So I started with the Stride Into the New Year plan, and it just brought me back body and soul all the way. It made me feel so good, and I was hooked, and I was like, where do I go next? And the answer was the 10K program.
Nice, nice. Mm-hmm. So tell us about your running background, Sarah. Like, how long have you been a runner, and what keeps you doing it?
I started running as a sophomore in college, overweight college kid who had just quit the crew team and realized I needed to learn how to be healthy on my own terms and not just show up to practice because the coach made me and then, you know, kind of have that check my box for being quote unquote healthy. Cause I wasn't especially, and I had sort of a complicated relationship with crew, lots of love and lots of difficulty. And so becoming a runner was really a process of realizing that I could just run for myself and I could exercise for myself and keep up with it. I was, every time a big change happened, like when I went back to college after that summer where I started running, or when I went abroad the following year, I was convinced, okay, this is going to be the time when I'm probably just going to stop running. I'm not going to be able to keep up with it. But every time I surprised myself by continuing to run, no matter where I was and no matter what I was doing. And I actually ran my first marathon while I was studying abroad in Italy my junior year.
Ooh,
which was
nice. Where was it?
It was in Florence. And it's a net downhill marathon, all you Boston qualifying hopefuls. If you want to take a great trip and run a really gorgeous race that starts at the top of a big hill and ends in the center of Florence, I really recommend that one. It was beautiful and just an incredible and empowering experience. And so that really gave me the motivation that I go back to and that I dip into every time. Every time I want to feel like I'm in control of things in my life, and certainly having a very young baby, you really want to have that feeling as much as you can, and you don't get it a whole lot.
Yep.
Yeah, my advice for motherhood is just lower your standards. And in what area? All areas.
Exactly.
Personal hygiene, yes, cleanliness, yes. Finances. Yeah, mm-hmm. Just lower them all the way around. But anyway, so tell us about your recent 10K experience. I think you did one as part of a Train Like a Mother Club, right?
I did, yes. And it was not what I expected on race day. So the race day story is not really what I think of, though, when I think of training for that 10K, because the training plan that I did with Coach Christine and the Train Like a Mother Club really just brought me back from this kind of dark place that I was in from having had a baby and dealing with the sleepless nights and the feeling that I was doing everything completely wrong and that there, you know, there was no way I was going to survive this. I all of a sudden found myself really looking forward to my run every day in a way that I hadn't in so many years. I was doing the 10K race plan. I decided that rather than go for a really long distance, which is what I had traditionally always liked to do, I wanted to work on challenging myself over a shorter distance in a way that made me nervous. Because I think it was probably Dimity on one of the podcasts that I was listening to. I was listening to like the whole back catalog of AFI. Because sometimes having a really young child is just, there's just a lot of sitting on the floor and playing with toys. And
yeah.
So I listened to a lot of old AMR episodes, and something that someone said about doing things that are outside of your comfort zone and that make you nervous and that are totally different from what you're used to just really resonated with me. And so I said, all right, I'm gonna do the 10K race plan. I'm gonna really go after this. So there were a lot of hard workouts, and the hard workouts initially made me very nervous, and I would have trouble sleeping thinking about them. But then I would get up in the morning at 4:30, 5 o'clock, excited to do them. And afterwards, no matter how they went, I always felt like I did something hard today. And I did something, and not only did I do it, I gave it everything I had. And that was a feeling that I could take with me throughout the rest of the day. Even if my daughter's nap schedule just totally fell apart and it was kind of a 1 minute to the next sort of day, I still had that workout from that morning that kind of reminded me that there were some things that I really could do and that I had total control over. And sort of an interesting test for how much I could keep that perspective was the 10K race itself, because when I signed up for it, I did so because the date was perfect. It was in Miami Beach, so not too far of a drive for me. But other than that, there was really next to no information about what the race would actually be like. And turns out it was an incredibly hilly and full of switchbacks trail race.
Oh my goodness.
And so it was two loops through this park. And I, you know, living in Florida, many mother runners I know live in Florida and know that hills are not really a thing.
I know. When you said a hilly trail race, I'm like, wait, we're talking Florida here.
Exactly. Well, see, this was my thought as well. I didn't think there was any way it was going to be different from the running that I was doing on a day-to-day basis. I could not have been more wrong about that. And I finished the race in about 1.5 times as much time as I was hoping for. It was not what I trained for, and right. It was not the outcome that I was really hoping to see. So I swallowed that, and I told myself that the training was really what it had been all about for me. The training was everything that had been kind of getting me through things and giving me a better perspective on the rest of my life. And a week later, I went out by myself on the road, and I put on some Motigo messages, which both of you were incredibly inspiring to me. You were in my head as I was doing my little solo 10K, and I did a solo 10K, and it was not a PR, and it was not quite the time that I had been hoping for, but it really wasn't that far off for a solo race on a very hot day. And I, you know, totally fell apart at one point and kind of had to like stop and catch my breath and then just get the rest of it done. I had about a mile left to go, and that was about when the SBS Motigo message just saying, pour it all out, came on. And hearing that just drove me the rest of the way home.
Oh, that makes me feel so good. And gosh, I mean, major kudos to you for doing that. I mean, a lot of people have been like, okay, I did the race, you know, that's check. It's in my rearview mirror now. Now I'll choose something else. But to be like, okay, you sort of wanted vindication. That's really impressive.
Well, thank you. I felt really good when I did my do-over. That made me feel like, okay, I got what I needed here, and now I can move on and know that this all this time that I spent has really brought me a long, long way.
And you did it even though you said you were nervous about the workout. So you did it even though you were uncomfortable with it. I mean, really good for you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And that's important, I think, when you have a kid and you're spending so much time focusing on the kid that you're able to just carve out that little tiny bit to push yourself. And do you think that, well, it sounds like it did help you mentally.
Oh, it really helps me mentally. And yeah. I think you could ask my husband and my friends who spend time with me. I think they would tell you exactly the same thing. It was a turning point for me when I started that plan and I really kind of got myself back on my feet, literally.
Yeah, you can do anything, can't you?
Yeah, that's how I felt.
Yeah. You can.
That's awesome. So, and I hear that you hate tempo runs. So making your do over 10K all the more impressive. So, those tempo runs, as you know, are a critical component to training for 10K if you want to hone your speed. Mm-hmm. So kind of talk to us about your relationship with tempo runs. And I should maybe say, for people who are listening, tempo runs are segments of a training run that a person runs after a warm-up, and those segments are typically at a pace faster than your half marathon pace, but not as fast as your 5K pace, so pretty much your 10K pace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those were the ones that kept me up at night. especially the ones where, so Christine actually, she just did a brilliant job structuring those into the plan, I thought, because she started us out just doing one tempo mile and then a tempo mile, half mile recovery, and then another tempo mile. And the first time that happened, I was like, oh, all right. But you know, it feels doable. Okay, like I did that once. Now I'm going to recover for a little bit and now I'm going to do it again. The second time is deadly, but but you get through it. And then eventually got to the point where it would be two miles of tempo, you know, no break in between. And it was just so gradual. You almost didn't notice that you were, you know, about to really go farther at that pace than you had before. And then I think there was one workout where it was 1 mile tempo, recovery, 1 mile tempo, recovery, half mile race pace. And that was, I think, the hardest workout on the whole plan. But those were the workouts that I was nervous about more than any others, and it really gave me a little bit of anxiety. But those were the workouts where I went home and just felt like I can do anything. Mm-hmm. Nothing's going to get in my way now. So. Exactly.
That's great. So what is next on your race calendar?
Well, I am at the moment in the heart rate training plan for
the amazing
half marathon plan. Yeah. So it's
you
sort
didn't
of
do
a
heart rate for the
tempo runs.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
But man, it is totally different. And I love different. I love trying something completely different and just putting my faith in someone. And MK is such a wonderful coach. And she is asking everyone to let go of all of their expectations, let go of what they think is the right way to do something, and just try her way for a little while. And I the change in perspective is very cool for me. So I can't wait for the next big new different thing. But at the moment, I'm really glad that I've kind of committed myself to this. And every time I commit myself to kind of a different person's philosophy and approach, I learn so much. So
that's awesome.
So
that's,
what is the race and what is it?
It is the Chile Half Marathon in Newton, Mass. And traditionally it's been very hilly because it's been on the Boston Marathon course. Yeah. You actually run Heartbreak Hill on like the steeper hills behind it kind of. And then you run down Commonwealth Ave back to Newton South High School, which is where it starts and finishes. So this year, though, they said that the course is going to be a little bit different. So I don't know, but I can't imagine that it's in Newton and does not involve
hills. Yeah.
So I'm going to be, I know MK has got some high knees on hills and other great hill repeats in store for me. And I'm looking forward to trying the half marathon again. It's been a while for me, but I really can't wait.
Yeah. And what's the date on that?
November 13th.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good. So you got some time then.
Yeah.
So
got some time. Oh, yeah.
Heart rate training is longer, right?
Heart rate training is longer. These plans are 20 weeks. And I actually even started a little earlier because they gave everyone a holding pattern if you weren't in the first wave. So I've been training with heart rate for about 8 weeks now.
Are you noticing any differences yet or is it too soon?
I am. I really am. The ease of the runs is something that I initially thought I wouldn't like because of how much I liked the hardness of the runs training for the 10K. As I was saying before, that was kind of like this very empowering thing for me. Mm-hmm. But it's empowering in a different way to finish a run that's, you know, an hour run and know that you could keep running like that for another hour if you had to, and it would probably feel really good. And to finish that run and then feel no soreness, just feel really good for the rest of the day and feel like you can't wait to get out and run again the next day. That's very cool. And mm-hmm. I've had problems with injuries in the past of various kinds. So the fact that heart rate training is so gentle on my body is really a new feeling that I am embracing a lot. And my pace has gotten faster at the 140 heart rate. It definitely has.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Do you get nervous about those runs like you used to with the tempo runs?
No. Don't.
No nerves.
I am never nervous about a run. I am like, all right, let's get out there. And the great thing about it is that when I'm at home in Florida where it's so hot, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter because the run is going to be easy no matter what if I keep my heart rate under 140. So even if it's like 4 in the afternoon and it is hot outside and the sun is out, I slap on my sunscreen and I know that I'm going to be fine because I'm just going to go for the time I need to go and I'm going to keep my heart rate where it needs to be and I'm going to get what I need.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Well, it has been a delight talking with you, Sarah. Thank
you
so much.
It's been a delight talking with you too. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on the show.
Alrighty.
Congratulations on your amazing race, Sarah. I just had to get that in there. So impressed. And that must feel amazing. So congrats.
You are very sweet. Thank you very much, Sarah. Enjoy the rest of your time in New Hampshire.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Here's a voice memo from Janet, who finished first in her age group in a recent 10K.
Hi, my name is Janet Sherman. I live in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And on June 26th, I ran the Stadium Stampede 10K in Denver, Colorado. I loved the race. It wasn't too big, not too small, perfect size. It started and ended at Sports Authority Field. It was really well organized. The course was great. I just can't say enough good about the race. My goal going into the race was to take first in my age group. And I guess you could say this was kind of my goal race of the summer. Now that I think maybe my PRs are behind me, I've started to race more for place than for time. And being in Denver and a little bit bigger race pool, I definitely wanted to see what I could do against others in my age group. I'm really happy to say that I did take first in my age group, which required putting myself out there a bit faster than I like to at the beginning and trying to hold on at the same time, trying to be smart about it and not crash at the end. I really do enjoy the 10K distance. It lets you go a little bit faster than in a half marathon, but yet it's not quite as painful as the 5K.
We want to welcome Erin LaFever, our next guest, who has joined us in studio. Yup, there are now 4 adults crammed into our guest room / shipping room for the Mother Runner store. Thanks for joining us, Erin.
Thanks for having me.
So, Erin, tell us a bit about you and your family. I know you live about a half mile from here.
I have 2 children. I have a daughter who's 7, and my son will be 5 this weekend. Mm. And I have a wife.
Another cancer, right?
Yes, she is.
Because my daughter just had a birthday, and our previous guest just had a birthday.
Oh, look at that.
So lots of cancers.
Lots of cancers.
So 5 and 7, and your wife.
Yep. And that's the 4 of us.
Yeah. Dogs?
No, we are on the hunt right now.
Oh.
We used to have one, and we're about ready to get another one.
What you looking for?
A rescue.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been dog-free?
A year and a half.
Oh, that seems about... Aren't you supposed to kind of leave... Some people say leave time to kind of grieve the passing of a pet.
I needed that.
Yeah, and they're never alike. Like, you know, you can't replace a dog. You're going to... It's like kids. You're going to get another dog, but it's not going to be... Your old dog. It's going to be a different dog. What kind of like lab or?
You know, it's somebody who's going to get along with everybody. Uh-huh. Who's going to be willing to be part of the family and be active and run around and be loved on. My son's a big lover. He loves to give big hugs. So they have to be tolerant of that.
Yeah. But not necessarily a running partner dog.
No, mm-hmm. not necessarily.
Yeah. Good deal.
Yeah.
So, all right. So detail your running background for us.
Well, I did some running in high school. I was on track. I did some other sports, cross country ski team in upstate New York. Didn't always mean that there was snow. So we did a lot of running. We mm-hmm. did a lot of hills. We did a lot of running then. And then I started running again when my son was 6 months old. I did my first couch to 5K. I was going to do the, I was determined. I was going to do the Shamrock Run. I did that in 2012. So that was my introduction to race running.
So 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
So relative newbie.
Yes.
Well, that's great. Am. And you like the 10K, huh?
I do like the 10K.
And why do you like the 10K?
I really settled into that feeling like the great, perfect distance for me.
Mm-hmm.
It fits well with my body. I can challenge myself. I can push myself. But I don't have to, I haven't run into the issues that I did with doing halves, where I was having some knee IT problems. Especially after 10 miles, I would start to have a lot of problems.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really strange. So it just feels that I can do more. I can push myself a little bit harder and not worry as much. And I am not, as much as I would love to be, I cannot get up early, early, early in the morning and run. My body revolts.
Hmm.
So I've just come to accept that about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm doing the shorter distance training, I can get up a little bit later. I can let my body feel better. I can fit it into the day better with the family.
Mm-hmm. Do you still do it before breakfast or do you do it later in the day?
Normally before breakfast, but maybe right after.
Like get up at 6-ish or,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Okay. Somewhere between 6 and 7.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That just works so much better.
Hey, you got to listen to your body.
Yes.
What's right for your biorhythms. And also with young kids, you know, you may not quite even realize this now, you think that you're going to have young kids forever, but you don't.
Right.
They grow up and life does change, mm-hmm. and it does open up possibilities later. So it doesn't mm-hmm. mean that you can never get up earlier because, you know, you can go to bed earlier. But at this point in your life, you're doing what's right for you. And, mm-hmm. and you need to, I think, have some peace of mind with that, you know, not feel like, oh, I'm cheating myself because I'm not doing harder. Your kids are only young for a short period of time.
Yes. Yeah. I try to remember
good
that.
For you. Mm-hmm. Good for you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
So, and how many 10Ks do you typically run in a year, and how do you choose your races?
Well, since I'm sort of new to the whole running world, I like to run anywhere between 3 and 4 races a year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to do too many. It's a lot easier, again, with the 10K because I don't feel like the day is just destroyed for me.
Mm-hmm.
After doing the halves, I felt like, okay, I'm done. I can't do anything else.
I'm off duty.
I'm done. Yes, I'm taking a long shower. I might lay down for a bit. I'm going to stretch for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'll join you for dinner. I mean, that was it. But now I feel like, okay, I can get up. I can run. I can do my thing. And then I can still participate in the rest of the day with everybody.
Yeah.
Which mm-hmm. is great. Because mm-hmm. the weekend, there's only so much you've got.
Mm-hmm.
So much time.
Mm-hmm. And which races do you choose? Do you do the ORC races or do you do other 10Ks?
I haven't done any of those before.
Uh-huh.
I tend to pick ones I don't love the heat.
Mm-hmm.
So I try not to pick really intense in the middle of summer runs because that's a lot. I like spring runs and I like fall. I'm happy to run in the winter. Mm-hmm. That doesn't bother me in the slightest. I'll run in the rain. I'll run in the cold.
Hills okay?
Hills are okay.
Trails?
Yeah. I've not ever done any trails, but that's something that I've been intrigued by.
You know, they've got that trail series on Wednesdays. I think they're 10Ks.
I have seen that.
Yeah, I know. But you got to get there like 6:30 on a Wednesday night.
Oh, that can be tricky.
I know. Yeah. Like how supportive is your spouse?
Right. Yes.
Mine is not quite that supportive yet. Someone has to make dinner. And if it's going to be more than cheese and crackers, it's going to be me.
Right. If you want everybody to be fed.
Yeah.
It's very important. Yes.
So in which do you find tougher, the first half of the race or the second half?
The first half. It takes my body a little bit of time to work into it. When I was the first 2 years before I started doing all my trainings through another mother runner, I was doing just 5Ks. And I kept thinking, why? I just feel awful. I don't know why. Every time I run, I feel awful. And the realization of it takes my body about 2 miles to start to feel, okay, we can do this. I don't feel yucky. I don't feel achy. And I felt like I could have more energy to go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that perfect sweet spot of not the 5K, not the half, but the 10K is a good distance. So I feel like I have a lot of energy towards the end. I can really push myself and go.
Good for you.
Nice, nice. So now if I'm not mistaken, you have done every single training program.
Yes.
With ever done, both in the original version and now it's the Train Like a Mother Club.
Yes.
So I think a little high five there. We need to make a better sound.
There it is. That was a very silent high five.
Are you doing heart rate training now?
I am not. I'm okay. Doing another 10K.
Gotcha.
And you also help me pack swag for participants.
I do, yes. Which I love.
Oh, and I'm so grateful for your help. And so what are some training or racing tips that you picked up from the Train Like a Mother Club or from other people in it or the coaches or whatever that you have put into use when you do a 10K?
I would say probably the biggest thing is trust your training. Mm-hmm. Because the training is phenomenal. I have had moments where I think, am I going to do this? Am I going to make it through? Yes, I am. Because the training that I did that led me to this point will carry me through this. It's very powerful. I've also learned that, you know, you can run up a hill 6 times and survive. It's going to be okay. I didn't realize that at first. So,
and then it always ends up being 8. I'm like, oh, 6 would have just been fine. I don't want to do 8. I always complain about that.
Molly always says that when we have to do strides at the end of a workout. You know, she's always like, why does it always have to be 8?
Why can't it be 6?
6 is a much better number. Yes. But yes, you can. And have you seen your times become
improve.
Faster?
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes, I have. I definitely have seen that.
Because you're 4 years, so you must you must have seen a big improvement in the beginning. Yes. But you're still seeing improvement. Mm-hmm. So what's your fastest 10K?
I am terrible with numbers, unlike Sarah. I don't remember. Uh-huh. I never remember my numbers. For me, it's...
Was it 30 minutes?
No.
It was
definitely not.
It was longer than that.
For me, it's how I feel at the end. Uh-huh. I love the idea of finishing the race with a smile on your face. And that is so important to me. And that is how I always feel.
But you feel like you're becoming more powerful, more confident.
Most definitely.
Do you journal too about your running?
You know, I don't. Mm-hmm. And that might be a good idea to start doing that.
I know people do. Mm-hmm. I always start off with good intentions and then I'm tired of the
bed. Too much.
And then I go back to review it and all I have is like the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, that's, why didn't I write more?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you for joining us, Erin.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
And I'll see you tomorrow to pack some swag.
Sounds good.
Let's hear from Jennifer, who used to always shy away from the 10K distance.
My name is Jennifer, and I'm from a small town in Arkansas called Arkadelphia. A group of my best running friends and I went to my hometown of Conway to run in a 10K race in February. It was called Freezing for a Reason, and we did. It was very cold on race day, but we were doing it in support of a very good cause, Arkansas Children's Hospital. I'd run several 5Ks and several half marathons over the years, but I've always shied away from the 10K distance. As a middle-of-the-pack runner, I knew this distance would be fast like a 5K and long like a half marathon. I've always felt like I could handle one or the other, but not both in a single race. I was surprised to find that I really enjoyed the 10K race. It's my new favorite distance behind a half marathon. I would encourage anyone who is looking beyond a 5K but not quite ready for a half marathon to give a 10K race a try.
So now we are joined by yet another Sarah, this time one with no H, and she's going to talk to us about running 10Ks. Here's Sarah Roach, who is a speedster, who is 6th woman overall in a 10K. She raced on July 3rd with a time of 46 minutes and 1 slim second. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you very much, Sarah. It's great to be here.
So Sarah, tell us where you live, how many kids you have, all that good stuff.
I live near Chicago in the northwest suburbs. And I have 3 kids. My daughters are 11 and 9, so they're starting middle school in the fall, the oldest one, and then the middle one's entering 4th grade in the fall. And then I have a son who's 6, and he's entering 1st grade.
Nice.
Oh, very good. So how long have you been a runner, and how often do you run 10Ks?
I've only been a runner since 2013, the spring of 2013.
And you're so fast.
I know, and you've run Boston. Like,
all right, that's it. We're hanging up. Yeah. It was nice talking to you. Yeah.
No, it wasn't. We're out of here.
Wow. What did you do before that? You had like competitive biking or, you know.
I really was not any athlete whatsoever.
Oh.
I was very, in high school, middle school, I was very bookish and I was into the band, so I was playing on the sidelines of games, but I wasn't actually playing them. Then I guess it's just kind of a normal mother runner tale. I had my third child in 2009, and I was having trouble losing the baby weight. And so I had this very dusty, neglected treadmill in my basement. So I decided to get on it and start doing a walk, run. I didn't know anything about couch to 5K, any of that, but I was kind of making that up. And then when the kids went to bed, I would do that pretty much every night. And then my treadmill broke.
Oh, no.
And I was, you know, I didn't want to lose my momentum. So I got outside. I downloaded a little running app on my phone. I'm like holding it in my hand because I didn't have an armband or anything. And I went out on the trail by my house. And, oh, my gosh, a switch was flipped. I was saying, you know, I wasn't really hooked on the whole running thing until then. But I did 5 miles that day, and I just cannot believe it.
Wow.
So,
So do you mean up until then you had only been running on the treadmill?
Yes, I had. Because it was pretty late at night when I was able to do it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Because I was like, well, the outside was always there.
But it does make a huge difference, doesn't it, to get outside?
Oh, my gosh. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. So then after that, I kind of knew about a very local 5K. So I joined that, and I didn't do too horribly. So, and I kind of caught the running bug. So then I started moving up. And 10K my next race I ran was a 10K, and it's always been one of my favorites ever since. Although now I've mostly moved up to the marathon in terms of my goal races, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. So wait, so how many marathons have you run if you've only been running since 2013?
I moved up pretty quickly. My first marathon was in the spring of 2014, and I used Train Like a Mother plan, and I loved it.
Nice.
And then my second marathon in October of 2014 was the Chicago Marathon, and that's my first Boston qualifier. So
And you qualified.
I did.
Oh my goodness.
And that was the marathon I used to run Boston this spring.
Do you have some Kenyan heritage or something?
I don't know.
Maybe. You gotta do the genetics, huh?
I'm very I guess I'm just in love with running, and so I'm a grinder, very hard worker. If I have a training plan, I'm going to follow it, so I think that's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. I like that term, grinder. it's interesting because, so I also, it must go with the name, I'm a good rule follower, and when I'm on a training plan, like, I do exactly what it says. But then this morning, I still had a workout that Bree, my coach, had laid out. And it was the first time that Molly and I just we were missing, you know, we were supposed to be doing 30 seconds on and then, you know, run easy for a minute 30. And then we would I'd miss it starting the next one by 15 seconds or 40 seconds or something. And when I'm training, when I have that race in front of me, I never miss those. I'm always right on. And this, I'm like, oh, Molly, I think we're 40 seconds late to start our next interval.
And look, there's a house that's for sale. We got to stop.
Right. We got to stop and let ourselves into the backyard and look through the window.
I know. Oh, I totally get what you're saying. And yeah, I feel inadequate a little bit when I, you know, miss that recovery interval.
When you're on a plan, you need to work the plan.
Exactly.
That's what it's there for. It's not there for you to improvise and say, okay, I'm going to do the part of the plan I want. That's not the idea, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
So what advice do you have for people looking to go faster in a 10K? I mean, how did you get so fast? You say you were a grinder, but was it speed work?
Well, I definitely did a lot of speed work. After I did the last year's Chicago Marathon, 2015, my times have been always in the same range for all the different distances I was racing. Uh-huh. So, and I was doing training plans out of a book at that time. But then I decided to hook up with a coach that's local here after Chicago to prepare for the Boston Marathon. Mm-hmm. And she's been putting me on different types of speed work than I had been doing, plus strength training. I'd never actually done that before. I was pretty much a newbie at that, but I do that twice a week now.
So do you think it's made 5% difference, 10% difference, 30% difference?
I'm not really sure, but I do feel a lot stronger. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's helping to ward off injury. And I think that that's another thing besides following the training plan is just putting together week after week of consistent workouts.
Yeah.
It's like building a house. So, you know, the strength training really helps me to feel stronger and to be stronger. And then the speed work she's putting me on is good too. After Boston, it took a while to get my legs back, but then we started preparing for this 10K. And she put me on shorter intervals, and usually on Tuesdays, and then longer intervals like mile repeats on Thursdays. And I really felt like the mile repeats was an important part of for a 10K.
And then were you doing running workouts on Wednesday, or what were you doing on Wednesday?
Oh yeah, I would do more maybe of a longer, you know, maybe like a 7 miler, but at an easier pace. So I love 10Ks, but I normally do them kind of at the start of a marathon training cycle because right now I'm preparing for Chicago. I really like the Chicago Marathon, as you can tell.
I'd say so, yeah.
So I really like 10Ks to kind of show me where my fitness is at when I start a new cycle, which is what I'm doing now. So,
So then how many 10Ks have you done overall?
Well, when I first started running, I did a lot of them. They're really hard to find around here. And I wish that there were more because I really like the distance because I really have I don't think I have a fast twitch muscle really. So the 5K is a little fast for me. So this is a way, the 10K is a way for me to get my speed on a little bit, but, then my endurance can show through a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say total, I've probably run about 6, maybe, around in that neighborhood. I try to find them whenever I can, usually like in the early summer.
Mm.
But I do like the distance a lot.
So Sarah, how do you handle the hurt that a company is getting in fifth gear and staying there for 6.2 miles?
Well, actually, I really like the 10K for that aspect of it because it seems like I don't have to use as many tricks as I would during a marathon or a half marathon. It seems that it's over. I mean, it is over quicker, but I don't have to quite trick myself as much. But when I do have to, which is usually around like mile 3, because it seems like you still have a long way to go. I do a lot of my workouts on the treadmill just for scheduling reasons and pace control reasons. And that gets a little boring. So I tell myself a lot when I'm doing my workouts that if I can just hang on for 5 more minutes, and when it gets to 20 minutes, I say, you can do anything for 20 minutes. So that kind of helps me. I just stay strong for 5 more minutes. And then when that gets there, 5 more minutes. And music also really helps me because I don't usually run with music unless I'm racing. So my playlist is pretty fresh. And I'm jamming out to the tunes.
I listened when Molly's not with me. I listen to something, either a podcast or music, but I do not listen to the playlist that I've made before the race. And so that at least the order of it's new. And like this time I bought a couple extra songs on iTunes. So I was like, oh yeah, I haven't, you know, I don't own that song usually, so I don't listen to it. So I definitely agree that having fresh music makes a big difference.
Yes, the power of a new song. And also I kind of try to forget where I put it on the playlist so that it's more of a surprise. Yeah.
So I have to ask then, do you put it on shuffle or do you have a specific order you like it to be in?
I'm not really, well, it all, I was really a slave to the order until I ran my second marathon and it got on shuffle by accident.
Oh goodness.
So since then I've kind of let go of, you know, needing it to be in a certain order just in case.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny because in my PR marathon, it was, mine was accidentally on shuffle and I could not let go. And so I stopped, I don't know, maybe a mile and a half or 2 miles in and switched it so that it did not shuffle. I just was like, no, this isn't how it's supposed to go.
I'm with you. I'm with you. And that was an emergency worth stopping for.
I've run with the same playlist for like the last 5 years. Oh, isn't that funny?
So you're like, what are these women talking about?
Yeah, it's the same old songs. I maybe need some fresh songs. And my playlist is so funny. You know, I've got like Oklahoma on there and just stuff that motivates me, I guess. I don't know.
It's funny. Also, I find it's funny to look back at old playlists because sometimes I'll look back at old playlists to get inspiration for the new one. Like, oh, what's a like go-to song I really like? And I was like, I looked at one, I was like, whoa, I used to really like Glee a lot. Yeah. Oh my goodness. And so is Chicago your next race then, Sarah?
Yeah, I'm looking for another 10K and another half marathon before that. But my big next goal race is Chicago.
Nice.
All right.
Well, good luck with that. And thanks for joining us, Sarah.
Thank you very much. It was great.
Here's a voice memo from Katie in Chicago, who offers a different opinion on 10K races.
Hi, this is Katie from Chicago. So I hate the 10K. I loathe the 10K. The one that I usually do with my friends is in late July in Chicago. It's hot, it's humid, and it's always so crowded. My personal issue is that I always tell myself it's way less than a half, so then I don't think I really need to train for it. I also always go out about my 5K pace, both of which I seriously regret at about mile 4 when I start looking for the finish line. Give me a 5K or a half marathon. 10Ks are for the birds. Thanks. Bye.
Our final guest today is Tasha Shepherd, a Georgia peach of a runner. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. So what's your story, Tasha? Where in Georgia do you live? How many kiddos do you have? And do you work outside the home?
Well, my family and I live in middle Georgia. We're almost right in the middle of the state. So with just a few hours, we could be at the beach or the mountains or downtown Atlanta. My husband and I have been married for 19 years. We have one son who is 15. He will start the 10th grade in a few weeks, and he is learning how to drive.
Uh-oh.
And I do work outside the home. I work for a ready-mix concrete company locally here.
Cool.
Nice. Molly and I were talking this morning. Her youngest daughter just turned 16, and I was like, oh, is she going to, you know, get her driver's license? And she was saying that...
she doesn't seem to be in any rush.
I've noticed that, too. That, you know, we offer... my son chances to drive, and depending on where we're going and what vehicle we're taking, he'll say, no, I don't want to today. But there's a lot more traffic than there is now. I think I grew up in a smaller town than where we were at. So there was a lot less opportunities for accidents and things like that. So it's a little intimidating for them now, I think.
Yeah. And in Portland, the kids are so good at mass transit. A lot of kids don't get their driver's licenses until they go to college. That's not that uncommon.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or they can ride their bikes places too.
Yeah.
So how long have you been a runner, Tasha? And what do you love best about our sport?
I started running in February of 2012. When I was 38 years old, my doctor and I had a math lesson. He told me that while I was still at a healthy weight for my height, I had gained 10 pounds over the past year. And looking back in my chart, I had gained 10 pounds the prior year. And he told me that 10 plus 10 plus 10, well, you get the idea, would start to become a problem. Mm-hmm. So I downloaded the Couch to 5K app, and that was it. I downloaded it. But you actually have to, open that app and use it. So
you do? Oh my gosh, like what a bogus app is that?
So a few months later, I was on Facebook and I saw a post that my cousin had put online. She had run a 5K. I believe it was her first 5K. And I had not seen her in person in years, but I knew through Facebook that she had three babies close in age and she led a really busy life. And she stood there in her picture in a yellow tank top and a cute little running skirt with her bib pinned on. And she looked so bright and so alive and so happy. And I thought, if this mother of three could train to do this, I basically had no excuse. So that was the turning point in between downloading the app and actually using the app. So on February 20th, 2012, I can remember that because it was my parents' wedding anniversary. That was day one, week one of Couch to 5K. What I love about the sport is that it brings people of all ages and stages and sizes and backgrounds. Anybody can do this if they put their mind and their heart to it. And I think mm-hmm. that they have the support. My husband was not really interested at all in running until he went to watch me at my first 5K. And I think that sparked an interest. And he realized that, oh, a lot of people do this and not everybody wins, but they still have a good time.
Oh my gosh. Not everybody wins. It sounds like the type of race they'll have with these, you know, our pampered kids, like each child will win. They'll reset up the tape for them to break.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Well, right.
And everybody wins actually. It's, yeah. We're all winners.
That's true. That's yeah. true. We're all running a different race.
Mm-hmm. So you haven't been doing this very long. It's 2012. So it's just been 4 years.
Yep.
And you've kept with
four
it.
4 years.
Yep. You got off the couch and you're still going.
That's right.
And you're a whole lot cuter than your cousin now, aren't you?
I don't know. She's still pretty cute.
Oh, all right.
But I have not had to have any more math lessons with my daughter. So I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, that is good. And you've run the Peachtree Road Race 3 times.
Yes.
With more than 54,000 runners. That's almost as many people as go to Ohio State. That is a huge group. That's a huge group of runners.
It is. It is. I was doing a little fact checking before our podcast, and I looked and there were 56,966 finishers at this race.
Oh, so it's gotten bigger year. Because I just Googled yesterday because I wanted to see how big it was. And it came up. It's the biggest race in the U.S.
Yes.
Peachtree Road Race. So okay. So there's a lot of people. But what keeps you coming back year after year? And how dang crowded does it feel?
Well, I always heard that the Peachtree Road Race was described as a per race. Part race, part parade.
That's a good one.
And I can say that that's truly a good description because the crowd support is unbelievable. You have families come out and they line the streets from start to finish.
Wow.
And they bring their families out. They bring coolers of ice cubes for the runners. They bring watermelon, popsicles.
Because it's in the summer, right?
Yes, it's July 4th.
Oh. Yeah.
So it's
in Atlanta, in Georgia. Atlanta.
Yes, yes.
You guys are crazy.
But there's bands along the course. There's restaurants offering pizza. I saw someone with a box of Krispy Kreme donuts. There's just a little bit of everything. And the city of Atlanta and the Atlanta Track Club do a phenomenal job at keeping everybody organized. They put you in corrals, and I was in the J Corral this year. And your number or your letter is on your bib. And if you try to go anywhere, but where you're supposed to be, they will not let you. And you just can't make any exceptions with a crowd that big. And I have seen people try, and I've seen what they do to you when you try to go in the wrong place. You can go anywhere in your corral back, but you can't go forward.
Now, they must have more than 26 corrals, though, if J, you know, there's 26 letters in the alphabet. That's where I got that number from.
I don't know. I've never thought about that, but I don't know.
How long do you think it takes to get everybody across the start line?
Probably the elite runners start about 10 after 7, I think, in the morning. My corral started at 10 after 8. So it's noon before everybody's finished.
Yeah, because you're in the middle. If you're Jay, that's not even the middle. You know, that's 3 shy of the middle. So that, wow.
And oh you like God. This yeah. race. You keep coming back. I mean, just parking alone has got to be a nightmare.
Well,
the parking,
you don't park.
The heat, the time. You don't park? What do you do?
You don't park. We stayed in a hotel that was near a MARTA station.
Oh.
Excuse me. So we rode MARTA to the start. Mm-hmm.
And
then
that's the public transportation.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And then we planned it so that our hotel was about a mile walk from the finish. So you start near the Buckhead area in Atlanta, and you finish at Piedmont Park, and then you follow the crowd either back to your hotel or back to a MARTA station. But if anybody comes and parks, I have no idea where they would do that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Everybody pretty much takes MARTA, which in and of itself is another thing that is, I mean, you're packed in there, but the fact that you can even get on a train and get there that many people at that time of the morning is pretty amazing.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So, and then do you do other 10Ks to see what kind of move you can bust without, say, 50,000 of your closest pals surrounding you?
I have. My PR for a 10K was at Callaway Gardens here over in West Georgia. And they have a Twilight 10K similar to what you did, Sarah, except yours, based on the pictures, was actually Twilight. This one starts about 4:30 in the afternoon.
Oh,
so
yeah, no.
I'm not sure. I don't know. They call it the Twilight 5K, but it's definitely during the day. I believe that that was an hour and 2 minutes, I think. That was my PR. Not quite under an hour for a 10K yet, but I was proud of that time. And that's a beautiful course. It's in the fall, so the leaves are falling off the trees and dancing around with you as you run. So it was really pretty.
And a little bit cooler.
Yes, a lot cooler. And a lot flatter than downtown Atlanta, too.
How long do you typically train for a 10K?
I try to keep my base mileage between 4 and 5 miles anyway, just to keep the math lessons, you know, from happening at the doctor. And so usually if I have one scheduled, I just kind of bump up the longer runs on the weekend. And recently I've started adding speed work to the routine. So this was actually this morning was my third track workout with a group of ladies from the MRTT group here locally. And that's tough. That's really tough.
It is. It is. But it's good for you.
But I'm excited to see what kind of effect that has on fall races. So
and what type of workouts are you doing with them?
The first time I went, it was 400 meter repeats with a 200 meter
recovery.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And the second time, the lady who's actually heading this up, we're so fortunate to have her, because usually people have to pay to get this, but she loves what she does and she loves sharing information. So she's just kind of deemed herself the helper of us all who want to become faster. And we did a magic mile the second time we went out there. And then today she bumped it up a little bit, although I'm not quite sure I'm ready for that. So I improvised a little bit. We did 6 400s and we jogged our recovery instead of walked the recovery. And several people have been going for many weeks, so they were ready for that, but I wasn't quite ready, but I'll get there.
And so you said that you're, you know, hoping to improve your speed a little. Are you looking to go under an hour in the fall, or do you have a time goal in mind?
I would love to go under an hour in the fall, but the conditions would have to be perfect and flat, and, you know, it cannot be 90 degrees.
It cannot be. I mean, my race was very flat and it was overcast and it was cool for a summer race. So, you know, the stars
I told my husband that my wave went off at 10 after 8 on July 4th, and I would never dream of starting a race or a run at 10 after 8 at this time of year. I'm usually starting at 5 or 5:30 and I'm done and showered and having coffee by that time of the morning. But
with your heat training like that, you do pick the right race. You are going to go significantly faster. So you should look for a fall race again.
I hope so. I'm hoping to find one maybe late October when it's a guaranteed cooler.
And cooler is all relative. How cool does it get in October? Is it 60s or?
60s probably. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's getting there.
It's getting there. Yeah.
I like to start a race in the 50s. Like, that's, I mean.
Me too. 50s, and I'm even okay with 40s. And Sarah probably may have shared the picture that I sent her.
I heard. Yeah. All the clothes on you.
You wearing all the clothes, saying that it was 20 at the start, and you're wearing what looks like an entire running store of clothes.
I know. I wore almost everything I had. But.
And you peeled off one shirt.
Yes. One layer. I peeled it off. But.
How old are you, Tasha?
I'm 42.
Okay. Yeah. So as you get older, you kind of get warmer.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's like, it is nice to have those cool merchants. I show up, I have like, my daughter has got all these clothes on, you know, she's a tiny little thing, and I've got shorts and a tank top on. And I'm like, let's go. Weather's good. She's freezing.
Oh my goodness. Well, good luck with your new training with your at the track and with some fall races, Tasha. Thanks so much for joining with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
So let's hear from Jen Rucker, another marathoner in training who turned to the 10K as a tune-up race.
Hi, my name is Jen, and I live in Rockville, Maryland. I ran a 10K on July 4th as part of my fall marathon training. When I registered for the race, I was just looking for something that fit my schedule. You can imagine my surprise when I showed up race morning and saw hills in every direction, and they all seemed to be going up. The course is more challenging than I expected, and my finish time was a couple of minutes slower than I had hoped. However, running this challenging 10K showed me I'm exactly where I should be at my training at this point, and gives me the confidence that two more months will really prepare me for that flat marathon course in September.
So, well, going back to the topic of 10Ks, you can run a 10K race or a half marathon or 5K as part of the AMR Retreat Run Plus Refresh happening in beautiful Spokane, Washington, September 22nd to 25th. The focus of the retreat, in addition to fun and making friends, is the Happy Girls Spokane race on the Saturday of the retreat. Choose to run the 5K, 10K, or half marathon, or keep me company near the finish line as I'm the race MC. And Molly, just this morning, you told me you're planning on doing the Happy Girls 10K while you're at the retreat.
Yeah, well, no, I guess I have to do it. It was just an idea. But yeah, I think I'm going to do it. I'm looking forward to a trail racy thingy. It's going to be fun.
It is going to be super fun. So, and in the 2 days leading up to the Saturday race, numerous experts will share training and racing advice. There will be yoga sessions led by the renowned yogini Sage Roundtree, foam rolling clinics, talks by a sports dietitian, and plenty of time to relax, including exploring Spokane's charming downtown or lounging by the host hotel's lovely pool. Also, we're recording a podcast on the first night of the retreat because three of my co-hosts will be there. There'd be Dimity, Coach Christine, and Molly!
Yay!
For all the details and to register, go to anothermotherrunner.com/retreat. Again, that's anothermotherrunner.com/retreat. We really hope you'll join us in Spokane in September. Whatever distance you run, many happy miles.